chapter 20, Luke chapter 20. I'm going to do my best to read 19 verses. I'm going to close one eye. That'll help me. Luke chapter 20, remember last week we finished Luke 19, and Jesus for the second time came through the temple and he cleansed the temple, and he said, "My Father's house should be a house of prayer, not a house of merchandise." And he cleansed the temple a second time. This, less than a week before, they will be crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Jesus will be put on the cross. Jesus will humble himself. Jesus will sacrifice so that you and I do not have to take the judgment of God. So right after that, Luke chapter 20, when they ask him, "By what authority do you these things?" I think they're specifically referencing back to his just emptying and cleansing out of the temple of the animals and the money changers. Luke chapter 20, verse 1. "And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, 'Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority?' And he," Jesus, "answered and said unto them, 'I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men?' They reasoned with themselves, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then believe ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet.' And they answered that they could not tell whence it was, whether John's baptism was of heaven or of men." Verse 8. "And Jesus said unto them, 'Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.' Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen," or to gardeners, "and went forth into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty." Verse 12. "And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, 'What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him.' But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours.' So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, 'God forbid.' And he beheld them and said, 'What is this then that is written in the Psalms? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.' And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them." Title of the message this morning: we'd rather question God than ourselves. We'd rather question God than ourselves. As you'll see in weeks to come, they continued to question Jesus in Luke chapter 20. And because they needed to find a way to reject Christ. So we'd rather question God than ourselves. Just a few things as we walk through this. I want you to notice in verse 1, Jesus just has days left. It says, "And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel." Jesus preached the gospel. You'll hear that. We're only saved by the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? Well, the word gospel means good news, good message. What is the good news? Well, first, the bad news is we're in trouble. Sin separates us from God. That's the bad news. Every single person in this room, you are separated from God because of sin. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is all about substitution. Somebody had to take your place. Somebody must take your punishment. Somebody must step in for you, or else you have to take the punishment that you deserve for breaking God's law. I want you to know the gospel has been the same from Adam on. I hear people tell me, well, no, the thief on the cross, he was not saved the same as you and I. That's false. The thief on the cross was saved by faith in Jesus, the Messiah. His work, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Jesus was preaching the gospel prior to his death, prior to his resurrection. The only hope for mankind is faith in Christ. It's the only hope. Jesus preached the gospel. I want to remember this. I don't want to get carried away with the cares of this life, and there are important things. I don't want to neglect family and loved ones if I have time to think about dying. But I'll tell you what I want to think about. I want to think about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, God's blessed me. Most of my family, many of my family, they're born again and they're saved. I'll get to see them for all eternity. If I know I only have a short time, what would be the best use of my time? It would be to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, because most people have rejected Jesus Christ. Jesus preached the gospel. I ask you, what did you do this past week? Did you declare? Did you issue forth? That's all it means to preach. It just means to proclaim. It doesn't mean that you're a preacher. Ladies, you can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men, have you declared the gospel? I ask you this. I haven't asked it in a while. Can anybody go to heaven with what you talked to them about this week? Do you think there was ever a week that Jesus walked this earth that he did not preach the gospel, that people could not go to heaven by what he spoke about? Jesus was focused. What about us? Could anybody go to heaven with what we shared, what we discussed, what we talked about this week? If not, I'm going to suggest we've missed the mark. Let it be a challenge to you. Are we about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Again, I told you we're going to have a great time in Sunday school, but the Lord has established churches so that the gospel would be proclaimed throughout all the world. There's not one person that God doesn't want to hear the gospel. He wants every creature to hear the gospel. And he has called us to do it. If we aren't doing it, who will? Yes, the gospel should be proclaimed in every single assembling of God's people. But the Bible tells us to go. The gospel. Do you know what the gospel is? Is the gospel yours? Do you live for it? Jesus preached the gospel. Then what happens when you preach the gospel? Religious people will interrupt you. They interrupted Jesus. Don't be discouraged by this. It's rude. They interrupted Jesus. Look at verse 2 and the scribes at the end of verse 1. The chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, "Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things?" They questioned the authority of Jesus. That is the great challenge today. Is Jesus truly the only way of salvation? Is Jesus truly the only way to heaven? Super controversial. The Bible says yes, and I will tell you, just sheer logic says yes. All false religions say just be good. I'm telling you, it's silly. You cannot erase your badness with your goodness. The Bible plan is that you are not good. I am not good. We can't be good enough. But I want to tell you this. You'll see it on YouTube. You'll see it on social media everywhere. And it's going to be an attack on Jesus Christ and on his authority. The only hope anyone in this room has, the only hope anyone in this world has, is faith in Jesus Christ. if Jesus isn't who he said he was, we're wasting our time. Religion is for the birds. This is not about religion. This is about one person, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. There are going to be people here. Do you know how many people? I know we're not that big a church, but we go through a lot of people. They come, and they go, and they come, and they go. What they're doing is we're rejecting the authority of Christ. You see, I don't know who's going to walk away here. There'll be many. I want you to understand this. You're not rejecting Pastor Steve. You're not rejecting Hope Baptist Church. If you go and you find another place to serve, that's different. But most people that stop coming, they just walk away. They just walk away. You're rejecting the authority of Christ. Have you ever surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ? Is he truly your Savior? You see, it'll be questioned over and over. Then, secondly, the Pharisees, they rejected God's messenger, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was foretold 700 years before God sent him that there would be a voice crying in the wilderness, that God would send a forerunner, God would send someone that was so unique that he would get everybody's attention, and John the Baptist was just that man. He got everybody's attention, and John's one job was, "Behold the Lamb of God," not to bring attention upon himself. And the people received John as a prophet, and they believed that what John said, and John's one job was to say, "That's the Messiah, Jesus. That's the one." John submitted and baptized Jesus, though he was intimidated by that, and I get it. I want you to know this. They rejected God's messenger. You're going to find this all the time. This, if you think the Bible has errors, you will eventually up on the Bible. I challenge you. I want you to understand this. You can give up on me. You can give up on Hope Baptist Church. But if you reject the Bible and you think it actually has errors in it, why would you study it? What kind of God do we have? You see, if you reject the message of God, what else do you have? Your opinion. You see, they were attacking the messenger. Jesus said, "I'll ask you one question. John's baptism, was it of heaven or of men?" And they knew if they said it was of heaven, why didn't they listen? And I tell you this, do you really believe this is the perfect word of God? I know it is. It's beyond belief. It's been so proven. It to me is laughable. I get on these YouTube things where these guys want to just question the Bible, and the answers to their so-called errors are so simple. But simple people believe that the Bible is not what God gave us. If you don't believe that, what part of the Bible is true? You see, the message of God is true. Do you really believe it? How much time did you spend in God's Word this past week? Do you thirst for it? Do you long for it? Do you want God's Word to get in you? You know, you can listen to it. You can read it. You can listen to messages. But is there no gap? Can you go one Sunday to the next, never have touched the Word of God? In essence, I'm going to challenge you. You're rejecting the power of God's message. I'm not telling you to treat it magically as though you're going to get some power, but you're going to benefit. I told you a recent study. I just saw a brief moment of it again this past week. Those that read their Bible once a week, hardly any difference. 2 to 3 times a week, not that much. Those that are in the Word of God 4 times or more during a week, their lives were dramatically different. They had more peace. They had more mental stability. They had more joy. But it's not just a little taste here and there. It's a thirst for it. You see, the issue is our world today has rejected the Bible. Are you embarrassed to say this is the perfect word of God? Do you have all the answers? You don't. But I'm going to tell you this. It is the perfect word of God. The perfect word of God. Third thing I want you to see is their focus was on the response of people, not God. The reason they didn't answer Jesus is because they were afraid of the people. They said, if we say it's of men, the people, it says this. Look at this in verse 6. It says, but if we say of men, all the people will stone us. For they be persuaded that John was a prophet. What are you living for? What people think? How people respond? Or it's what God thinks? Look, we're all challenged by this. We are so driven by the here and now. We live more for what people think. We're just like the Pharisees then. The Pharisees, they questioned the authority of Christ. They rejected the message of God, and their focus was on people and what people thought and not what God thought. I tell you, that's not a good place to be. I say it over and over. We give more reverence to our employers than we do God. If our employers tell us to do something, we'll do it. Very rarely will we leave and quit. Sometimes we will, but we'll do it. We might grumble, we might complain. God says to do it, we just ignore God. We're just like the Pharisees. Now this parable, let's talk about this parable. Jesus then, right after he does this, and the Pharisees knew in verse 19 that he spoke this parable against them. So let's just look at verse 9, and I'll tell you what, I don't think it's that difficult. Then began he to speak the people this parable, this illustration, this story to come alongside already existing truth. He said, a certain man planted a vineyard and left it forth to husbandmen. I believe the certain man is God in this. It would represent God. God, he created this earth, and he said he created a vineyard and he left it to his servants, the gardeners. And he went into a far country for a long time. And so I want you to see this, though. God has a work for us to do. So if you agree that this certain man, verse 9, planted a vineyard and left it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time, and at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. God has a work for us to do. I want you to ask yourself this question. What work have you done for God this past week? Are you just living? You got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to shower. You got to do the dishes, do the laundry, mow the grass. You can do those as unto the Lord. But did you? What work of God were you involved with this week? Again, it's outside of these four walls. I do love this. There is service within these four walls. That's not me discounting that. But I ask you this. What work of God were you involved with? Are you conscious every day, everywhere you go, that God has a work for you to do? If not, it's a red flag. Lost people don't have a work to do for God. Lost people live for themselves. God has a work for us to do. God expects fruit. God expects a return. Look at verse 10. And at that season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. God expects fruit. I ask you this. What is the evidence that you are fruitful for God? What's the evidence? What's the evidence? You see, it's why I love church services. Jesus is talking to religious leaders here, and he's challenging them. They were full of religion, but they missed it. They missed it. He expected fruit. So I just ask you this. You ought to sit down. What's the work of God that you're involved with? Ask me, ask others. We'll help you get involved with the work of God. The work of God really is declaring the gospel to the world, finding people that'll let us teach them, sitting alongside people and teaching them about our great God. That's the real work. But I ask you, is there any evidence that God has used you? If there's not, maybe you're not doing the work of God. Maybe you're lost. Maybe you're like these religious leaders. They rejected the true way. They were full of religion, but not full of Christ. He has a work for us to do. He expects fruit. And we don't like accountability. Three times he sent servants, and they beat them, and they didn't answer to them. They refused. Those servants in this particular example dealing with Israel would have represented the prophets and all the blessings, all the messengers God had sent Israel, and they rejected them, every single last one of them. They rejected them, and they beat them, they wounded some, and they killed some. And so I tell you this, do you like accountability? We need accountability. We need to answer, because we will ultimately answer to God, but we reject it. I want you to know this whole parable is God has a work, God expects fruit, God will hold us accountable. What about you? Are you rejecting accountability? It is, it's one of the reasons why I love the size of our church. I know who's here and who's not. I pay more attention to who's here and who's not than any other thing. I glance around. And the reason why, it's not to beat them up, is I know this. Usually, we've been so blessed when people aren't here, there's a reason. They might be hurt spiritually, emotionally, physically, who knows? But we need to find out. We need to find out. I want you to know this, accountability is good. People love the big churches because they can kind of go in and out without accountability. It sounds like religious people just trying to check the box. You and I both know this. It's good for me to be held accountable. It's good for me to have a reckoning of my life. I'm a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night guy. It's good that I have a reckoning, that I'm confronted with, what was my life about this past week? Is my life about Jesus Christ? Is my life truly focused on Him? And then fourth, I want you to see this, we focus on ourselves and what we will get. After he sent the three servants, look at verse 13. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him." Can you see? This is speaking of God sending Christ. I don't think that's a stretch for you to see that. But verse 14, when the husbandmen, the gardeners, saw him, saw Christ, this would be he's referencing the Jews when they were to be the superintendents, the caretakers of the truth of God's word. But when they saw Christ, when the husbandmen saw Christ, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." In this parable, you know, I said the certain man would represent God, but in this parable, the thought would be that the certain man had died. So now the son comes, and the son is going to be the one that's going to then make sure everything gets done. Here's their thought. We kill the son, we inherit everything. They were only thinking about themselves. This is the great problem in America today, 21st century. Maybe it's the world today, I guess. Jesus is just viewed as what you get. You see, I ask you this. Are you only interested in Jesus Christ because you don't want to go to hell? It's a red flag. Now, I want to tell you this. Eternal damnation's real. The Bible preaches it. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I think there is a place where we need to understand, and it ought to make us shake in our boots, that says, I will answer for my sin, and I will answer justly so, and I think that's a good place to start. But I want to help you understand this. Is your life about Jesus Christ, or is your life just about trying to cover the bases? Check the box that says, you know, all I just don't want to go to hell. That's all I'm worried about. I just don't want to go to hell. Well, it's a red flag because you've made it all about you. You see, salvation, Jesus saves us so that we can glorify Him. He will come in unto us. He will live in us so that we can live for Him. I tell you, it's this whole message this morning is about false religious leaders. It's about people that gather at Baptist churches just like this. They're full of religion, but not full of Christ. Do you want Jesus so that your problems are fixed, or do you want Jesus? You see, is the focus on you, or is the focus on Christ? You see, what Jesus talks about is, he talks about a reckoning day is coming. There's a day where we will answer. Look at verse 15. So that they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him, speaking of the son. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. Let me just talk a overall thought. Let's just talk about Hope Baptist Church. There's an application here that says, if Hope Baptist Church is not about the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will take the power, the ability, the people, and give it to those that will. It's in essence what Jesus was saying here. It was taken from the Jews, who were the superintendents of God's word. They were given the privilege of being the messengers and the heralds of the gospel for the prior 2,000 years. And he took it from the Jews, and he established his churches, and he's given it to his churches. We will either be about the work of God, or He will take it from us and give it to others. It's a reckoning day. And then I'm going to tell you there's two responses. Look, if you will, look at verse 16. He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. It sounds like they were beginning to understand He's talking about us. Don't do that. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? It's from Psalm 118. I won't flash that up on the screen, but the stone which the builders rejected, that stone is Jesus Christ, I want you to understand. The same has become the head of the corner. The most critical part of the building is the cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the stone which the builders rejected. Now, verse 18, I want you to understand this. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. One is good and one is bad. The first one is broken voluntarily. Look at verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. Whosoever shall fall upon Christ, Christ being that stone, whosoever shall fall upon Christ shall be broken. You see, we must fall upon Christ in humility. You understand, these religious leaders, they did not respond in humility. I beg you this morning, is this message speaking to you at all? What we must do is humble ourselves before the Lord and fall on him and be broken in spirit. Have a broken and a contrite spirit. Fall on Christ and be broken voluntarily, because the other part is we will be broken in judgment. Look at verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. It's not God being an ogre. It's what we all deserve. You see, the two responses to the gospel message: fall on Christ and be broken. Fall on Christ and trust him and be broken. You can't do it. Or the stone, Christ, will fall on you and grind you to powder. You see, those are the two responses that we have from this message. Look at verse 19, how the religious leaders responded. And the chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him. They rejected this. And again, their focus was the people, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken that parable against them. And he had. You know, this morning I ask you this: what is keeping you from surrendering in faith to Christ? Are you worried what people will think and hear? I don't think people are going to judge you, but I will tell you this: how many people I speak to, they will not surrender because of the perception of people. I'm not saying you have to walk down this aisle to be saved, but sometimes I think you need to walk down this aisle to get things right with God. Humble yourself. Be broken before the Lord. That's the response that the Lord wants. You see, less than a week before Jesus is going to the cross, they question everything about Jesus: his authority, his message, his motive. They questioned all that. What about you? What's the evidence? See, I know most of you. We've got a couple new visitors today, and I love when we have visitors. But for those of you that sit in here week after week after week, is Christ truly our great love? Is Christ truly the one that we're doing the work for? Do we wake up and realize that I have a garden to tend to? I have a work to do. The Lord will expect fruit from me, and I need to be about my Father's business. You see, 11 men turned the world upside down. I still believe, and it begins with me, there's no doubt about it. I believe we can turn Fairfield upside down if we only take the Word of God seriously. If we only see Christ as the great prize. I love the songs we sang this morning. If we see Christ as the joy to abide with him, to be with him, to soak in him, to live for him, we'll be a different church, we'll be a different people. But what it takes, and it begins with me, I must humble myself. And afresh. See, I'm saved. I don't fall on him to be saved again. But I need to fall on Christ and be broken again. Broken so that I might be used to bring glory to him. I asked this morning, what two responses are you? Are you bothered? Do you want to fall on Christ afresh? I'm not saying be saved again. I'm just saying we must humble ourselves daily, hourly, weekly, all the time, so that we would be fresh for Christ. I'm convinced if Jesus were to preach this message today, he would go to Baptist churches. Baptist churches. I'm convinced as a whole, they preach the true gospel. Baptist churches, they've been blessed of God, but in the 21st century, I think what Baptist churches have become are social clubs. I think the fellowship's good. I think fellowship is critical. Are we doing the work of the gospel? If we're not, two responses. One, those that are lost, you need to get saved. Two, those that are saved, you need to fall fresh on Christ. Be broken over your sin, broken over my sin, that we might honor him. Let's pray.